and because it sure pinched me as I was preparing it. So just remember, if I point my finger at you, there's four pointing back at me. So, amen. We're coming out of the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 12, just a little bit about the church at Philippi. It was a very impoverished church, didn't have much, suffered a lot of persecution, and yet this book is known as the book of joy, because they didn't focus on their poverty, they didn't focus on what they didn't have, they focused on ministry and helping Paul. Paul had all good things to say about the church at Philippi. Never once does he correct them. He's just complimenting on the things that they're doing. So let's look at verse 12 in the first chapter. He says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evidence to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add to my affliction, to my chains. But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." Father God, we just come before you today. Lord, we're so thankful for your Spirit, for your presence that's in this room. God, we just pray that you would take over. Lord, I pray that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And God, last night we prayed, Lord, that each one of us would hear you calling our name. And God, I pray that it would be that specific today. Lord, that the Spirit of the Lord would have a message for each one of us. And God, that you would speak to us and bring encouragement, bring correction if needed. But God, let us hear the instruction of the Holy Spirit today. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In your precious name we pray. Amen. I can't tell you how many times I've read this scripture and had to stop. Because to me it was so convicting. Once or twice as I would try to read the scripture, I would just break down and I'd start crying. Thinking thoughts like, God, we're not even worthy of people's lives like this. And if you understand what this scripture is saying, it's probably going to convict you a bit. Are you okay with the things happening to you in your life at the moment? Should I ask it this way? Is my life all about me? How often we turn our eyes inward and life is just about us, never recognizing that God has got a purpose for your life and a plan for your life. And he may take you through some difficulties for his purpose. And that's what this whole scripture is about. Paul was there in chains. And he was saying, it's okay. My chains are okay because it's working out for the furtherance of the kingdom. My goodness. Does that not convict you? I'm just telling you guys, if the police walked in today and said, hey, we have a warrant for your arrest, and they put handcuffs on me and walked me out of this church, I would not be singing, Oh Happy Day. I'd be... When we go through difficulties, it's hard to keep the right attitude. But it's imperative. It's probably one of the most critical things that you'll ever face in life is when difficulty comes, your attitude. You know, Charles Swindoll says, life is like 90% what happens to us, or 10% what happens to us, 90% is my attitude. And that's the one thing I'm in charge of. I cannot change what other people do. I cannot change the way society goes. But I am in charge of my attitude. And what will my attitude be? Here he is chained every day to a prison guard. And he says, it's okay. It's okay. It's working out for the furtherance of the kingdom. Matter of fact, in chapter 4, verse 22, Paul states this. All the saints greet you, but especially those of Caesar's household. In other words, hey, those guys that I've been chained to for 2 years, they're all Christians now. And they wanted to send their love to the church. Isn't that something? I don't think that I would be thinking about witnessing to the person I'm chained to. But Paul said, oh, what an opportunity to share the gospel of Christ with you. We're going to be together for a few hours. Let me tell you about Jesus. Are you using your opportunity? Are you so self-absorbed? Church, this is us. We're so self-absorbed that we think all of life is just about what happens to me. That's why I said, where's Jesus at on your graph? Rarely do I think that Jesus comes up number one on the graph of your life, the graph of my life. We put so many things ahead of him. He's somewhere down the list. He'd probably make the top five. But he don't want to be the top five. He must be number one. If you could back up just a little bit, Paul says, being confident in this, in verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, can you hang on to verse 6 when difficulty comes? What if a tornado comes and wipes your house out? And all your earthly belongings is gone. Can you say, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in me will complete it? When the doctor looks at you and say, I got bad news for you today. Being confident of this, he who began a good work in me will complete it. Are you getting this? Verse 6 has got to be dominant in our life. Because things will happen. Satan will try every way he can to move you off the mark. To get you focused inside. To get you wavering. We often think about spiritual maturity in the church. We just focus on the wrong things so much of the time. You want to know someone that's spiritually mature? Paul refused to grumble. He refused to complain. He never questioned God. He did not whine or murmur. He didn't fall to pieces or go get a prescription of Xanax. He didn't curse God. He didn't say, well, God must not love me. But he said, I'm confident of this. He uses this word confident several times in chapter 1. I wonder how often we're confident. Would you use that word today to describe your walk with God? Confident? I'm confident about who I am in Christ. I'm confident about what God is doing in my life. I'm confident of this fact or that fact. I believe the Lord wants you to be confident. 1 John says you ought to know that you know that you know that you're saved.
Amen.
That ought to be settled.
Yes.
Now Satan wants to come back to you and say, you know, you're not really saved. Look at the way you live. You need to get to a point in your life where you say, Satan, shut up. Get behind me. I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm confident of this. In Ephesians 6:20, Paul calls himself an ambassador in bonds. And that word ambassador means halusis. The Greek word is halusis, H-A-L-U-S-I-S. And it means there's a small length of chain connecting him to a Roman guard. At all times, he is under lock and chain. Confound to his house. That's why this church was so precious to him, because they were helping take care of him during this time. Paul said, the things that's happened to me have fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. Therefore, he says, I'm okay with this. How would you say, I'm okay with bad things that happen to me as long as the gospel is preached? Matter of fact, he goes on, he says, oh, the gospel is being preached quite a bit now. Some people are preaching it because they have more boldness. They see what I'm going through and they think, if Paul can do it, I can do it. And they're preaching Jesus Christ. And some people are preaching out of selfish ambition. Some people are preaching the gospel because they think it's going to be harder on me if they continue to preach. I thought we were one. I just want you to notice, Paul was okay with people even preaching the gospel that was doing it to his demise. He said, I don't care if they're preaching it because they think it's going to make it harder on me. He didn't set himself up as the boss of the church to try to correct everybody. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It's not yours. It's not Paul's. The Holy Spirit will deal with those people. Paul said, what matters is Christ is preached.
Amen.
You know, I just mulled this over in my mind. And I thought, is this good for only Paul? Is this Paul's assignment in life? But see, we don't know what the future holds for us. Maybe this is Paul's assignment, but you don't know that it might not be part of your future. What if it is? Will we start whining? Murmuring? You think of the children of Israel, folks. God delivered them with a powerful right hand. Opened up the Red Sea. I mean, they came out loaded with the gold of Egypt. And it was in no time they were murmuring about him, saying, we want to go back. You know, there's a saying that says, faith that costs you nothing is really worth nothing. There was a time in King David's life when he messed up. He started acting out of pride. And he gave a command, I think it was to Abner. He said, Abner, I want you to count all the people of Israel. Let's see how big we are. Let's see what kind of army we've got. And whoever the commander in chief was, he said, David, we don't need to do that. He knew. He knew that this is not a good thing, because you're trying to have reliance in yourself and not in God. You're putting your confidence in numbers, not in God. David, let's not go down that road. David said, you do what I tell you. So they went out and they counted the people of Israel. They came back and they gave a report. And it wasn't long that God was not happy and God was not pleased. And God gave David three options. And David, he said, you have sinned, and there's three options. He said, you can have 3 years of famine, 3 months to be defeated by your enemies, are 3 days of my sword. David said, I'll take the 3 days with you, because you are a merciful God. 70,000 Israelites fell by the sword, the death angel. And God relented and called them off. They were just getting started. The Lord said, that's enough. The Lord stopped him on the Temple Mount before the temple was ever there. And David said, I need to offer the Lord a sacrifice. The Temple Mount at that point was a threshing floor owned by Arona. And David looks to Arona and said, I need to purchase this place. And Arona said, you don't have to purchase it. I will give you this mountain. And I will not only give you this threshing floor, but I will give you the oxen to sacrifice before the Lord. And David said, I will not offer the Lord a sacrifice that does not cost me. See, I think the church is looking for a cheap grace. We're looking for a religion that doesn't cost us. I read something funny one day and it said, come to this church. We're calling ourselves Light Church. We only have 3 commandments and you have 6% tithes. Light Church. We've reduced what God wants. You don't really have to do all this. There's no such thing as Light Church. There's no such thing as a light commitment. I got news for you. From God's perspective, listen to me real closely. It's all or nothing. He either has your heart or he doesn't have your heart. It's all or nothing, guys. This option stuff, I'll choose to do this or I'll choose to do that. That's man-made. Well, I'll tithe one day, but I just don't want to do that right now. You take that up with the Lord. That's not my business. But I'm going to tell you, it's not God's way. Which one of the commandments do we want to leave off? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Honor your father and mother. How about let's just knock the one, keep the Sabbath, because none of us do that anyway. I don't know about you. But I think if God put it in his word, it's there for a reason. See, I don't think I have to understand. I think I just take it by faith and believe it. And if God told me to honor the Sabbath, I think I probably need to honor the Sabbath. I think I need to take it easy one day a week and put him first. That wasn't in my notes, by the way. Are you looking for a cheap gospel? I remember one time when I was a kid, we were singing a song, Hold the Fort. I remember. I mean, I was like 10 years old. Hold the fort, for I am coming. I knew what I was talking about, and so did the pastor. When we got done with singing that song, pastor said, take the page, Hold the Fort, by the right-hand page number. And he said, please rip that out of your hymnal. He said, we ain't holding the fort no longer. We're advancing the kingdom of God. Man, I'm going to tell you, to a little 10-year-old boy, I'm like, we can tear stuff out of the songbook? That's wonderful. I got news for you. There's people trying to do that to the Word of God. They read a word and they say, well, that I don't agree with that. Let's tear that page out. You're in dangerous ground. When you start tearing pages out of the Word of God. You see, the thing that I think of is there's some people that believe some of the Word of God is inspired and some is not inspired. And if I'm going to believe that, then I've got to look for a man to tell me what part is inspired and what part is not inspired. Let every man be called a liar. God is true. I'd rather take his word for it that he says every word in there is true. And whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, you better line up with it. Amen. Paul said, as long as Christ is preached, I'm going to rejoice in that. Christians, We're about half mad at the Baptist church because they're growing faster than we are. We don't really like the Lutherans or the Presbyterians. Catholics get on our nerve with all this stuff. Church of Christ want to take communion every time they get together and they don't believe in a piano. My God. You know what Paul would say? I rejoice because Christ is preached. Guys, let me just tell you, you don't have to be Assembly God to make it to heaven. It is not about where you go to church. It's about who you serve. We praise God for the diversity. So therefore, our attitude ought to be, God, we bless TVCC. We bless First Baptist. We bless First Methodist. We bless the Catholic Church as the Holy Cross. We just bless them. We pray that they preach Christ. We pray that they would do well and reach souls for the kingdom of God. That's what Paul would say. I'm rejoicing that Christ is preached. Now those that do not preach Jesus Christ, we're not rejoicing about that. Paul said something. He says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. I know. I might be in chain right now. He was in chains for 2 years. This was not a short time thing. Paul the evangelist, the guy who's supposed to be going, evangelists are the sent ones. The guy that's supposed to be going is now under house arrest, connected to a Roman soldier, and he's sitting there. Don't you think he's thinking, God, I know you called me to be an evangelist. How can I evangelize the world when I'm under house arrest? It doesn't make sense. But that's not his attitude. He never questioned God. He said, if I can't do it one way, I'll do it another. I know my calling. Maybe I can't leave right now, but bless God, I can write a letter.
Amen.
How about some of you sitting at home, you say, I can't do anything. Sister Sue, bless her heart. She did something so sweet the other day to me. We were talking about this very thing, serving people at the Yes Group. And Sister Sue, she told me, she said, you know, I don't know a lot of the people in that church, but I can make cookies. And she said, when you go to visit somebody, you call me up and give me a few hours. I'll make you a batch of cookies. And every day since then, I've been telling her I've been visiting everybody. Hey, Sue, I'm going to visit somebody. Isn't that sweet? Use what you got. A little boy that Philip brought to Jesus. You really think 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread is going to feed 50,000 people or 5,000 people? That's ridiculous. But he said, here's what I've got in my hand. Oh, if only the church members would say, here's what I've got to contribute. It's not much, but if you can use it, God, use it. Here's what's in my hand. Paul said, I know that I will be delivered. You know why? Because you're praying for me. And the supply of the Holy Spirit. And when I read that, it just convicted me. Because I thought, how often we pray for each other, but we don't believe. We don't believe that her prayer is going to help me. But Paul did. Paul said, I know that I'm going to be delivered from this because of your prayer.
Come on.
Folks, we got people in the hospital today that we're praying for, and we ought to say, I know they're coming out of their well. Why? Because the Church of Jesus Christ has lifted their voice to heaven. I believe in prayer. You may say you do. I hope you do. But the proof is in the pudding. If you're not praying, you don't believe in it. If there is one change in my life since I became pastor, I would tell you it's in prayer. I've always believed in prayer. I've always been a man of prayer, but not like I am today. I am driven to my knees in prayer. I believe in prayer. Paul believed in prayer. And he said, and in the supply of the Holy Ghost. Why is prayer powerful? Because the one you're praying to is powerful. The Almighty God. It's not about your prayer. It's not about it being pretty. It's about who it goes to. The Spirit of God has not lost His power.
Amen.
Now you think about you for a second. Where are you short today? What are your needs? What's going on emotionally, physically, financially? I know there are things that are lacking in your life. There's things that are lacking in everyone's life. But do I believe in prayer? Do I believe that the supply of the Holy Ghost is still coming? That the Spirit of God is still moving. He's still well able to bring to me the answer that I need. Tuesday morning, Peggy said something that her daughter said. It struck my heart like a ton of bricks. Somebody said to her, and if you know Carrie, her daughter, Carrie's always smiling. She's always joyful. And one of the docs, I think, that she works with, saying, how come you're always laughing? You're always smiling. You're always in such a great mood. They're thinking, you must never go through hard times. How come you're like that? She looked at him with a few words and she said, it's a choice. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's a choice. That doesn't mean it's a good day. And that doesn't mean it's a bad day, regardless of the circumstances. Pastor Eric, I don't have enough money to buy gas to put in my car to get home. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You want to see your world change? This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. If you will quit whining, quit murmuring, quit asking if God hears your prayer, and tell the devil to shut up and get behind you. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And the Holy Spirit is still God. He's still on the throne. The right arm of God is still powerful. I don't know anything that God can't do. I don't know anything that God can't change. I do know something that God can't change. The things that I don't ask for. If you think God, have you ever thought about all the people that God did not heal? Do you remember that he went to the pool of Bethsaida? And Jesus said, I think it was Jesus, maybe it was Paul. Said, why don't you, it was Jesus. He said, why don't you get in? And when the angel stirs the water, why don't you get in? He said, I can't. Jesus healed that man. He was not the only man by the pool, guys. He says, somebody always beats me in. That tells me lots of people are there waiting for God. But Jesus didn't minister to them. He ministered to that guy. Why? Because he asked. Blind Bartimaeus, what do you need? Well, I got a toenail. Jesus, that's really bugging me. He wasn't worried about his toenail. He's worried about not being able to see. Take your needs to the Lord. and you realize His hand is not short. God is still a miracle-working God. If you don't believe it, you talk to this man right here. He should be dead. That's a miracle. He's not done. But you're here. Being confident of this. That He who began a good work in you, He's going to complete it. He's not done. Being confident of this. This lady lost her mind. She was out of her head. Being confident of this. That He who began a good work, He'll complete it. Every one of us has got a testimony. Your son. Being confident of this. I dedicated that boy to you, God. That boy has accepted Jesus Christ. And every time he gets in the presence of God, he's the first one to the altar. And I know it looks like Satan is winning right now. But I'm confident of this.
Glory.
That he who began a good work, he's not done. Paul said, I praise God because my chains work for the furtherance of the gospel. For to me, to live is Christ. How many of us could say that? How many of us would be willing to say, my life is all about Jesus? Because that's His desire. Paul said, I'm between the two. And the first thing I thought of is, what is he saying? I want a Twix too, Paul. I'm between the two. I'd rather die because I know heaven waits for me. But I am choosing to stay because of you. Do you hear the unselfishness in that? And today's church is all about me. Pastor, you need to change the time of the church because this would work better for me. You think that's silly, maybe. Pastor, this church ought to have carpet. It's not about you. It's about Him. Who cares if we have concrete or carpet, pews or chairs, sings this song or that song, as long as He is glorified in the house. I'm going to tell you that has always convicted me all my life. For to me, to live is Christ. I want that to be my statement. I really do. I want my life to count for Jesus. But in all fairness, I got to tell you, I ain't there yet. I'm not there yet. There's still a very selfish side to Eric. I wind up repenting over that quite a bit. Every time I go to the buffet table, I see the selfish side of Eric. I mean that in all sincerity. Just because it's there doesn't mean I have to eat it right then. I know when the Spirit of the Lord says that's enough. You're full. And then I say, but it's $12.95 and I'm getting my money's worth. And therefore, you had to buy new clothes. For to me, to live is Christ. Think about where you work. Think about where you go to school. Think about your life. Where you live. Your neighbors. For to me, to live is Christ. How unselfish are you? Is life all about you? Are you just burning out for Him? You know the old saying, I don't want to rust out. I want to burn out.
Amen.
I want to burn out for Jesus. Amen. I want my life to count for Jesus.
Yes.
That doesn't mean everybody's a preacher. Tony's a cop. That's a God-called thing. Thank God for godly cops. We've got a doctor over here. There's all kinds of people. Accountants, nurses. Those are God-called things in the community. God doesn't want everybody to be a preacher. But he wants everybody to be an evangelist.
Amen.
And where you work is your field. Share the gospel. Can you imagine being tied up to Paul? Oh my God, Paul, would you just shut up? Yes, I'll accept Jesus if you'll shut up. I love that. All the people in Caesar's household greet you. Here's Romans and Jews. They didn't like each other. And all of a sudden, all the Romans are getting saved. And they're sending word back to the church. Tell them we love them. Oh, we love them people. Got to change your heart. I don't see how people can be prejudiced and call themselves Christians. I just don't get it. How can you hate and call yourself Christ-like? That doesn't make sense to me. But maybe it's something that needs to fall in your life. I remember talking to one of my seniors when I first started. He started crying as I was talking to them about prejudice, racism. And he came up to me and he said, "I hate Japanese." He lived through World War II. He said, "I just can't forgive them. I hate them." You see, some of us would say that about ISIS. I got news for you. Those are people.
Amen.
Those are people that Jesus loves and died for. Oh, I'm getting touchy right now, ain't I? How can we hate people that Jesus died for? I don't like what they're doing. I don't like what a lot of people do. I remember the other Saturday night, Deb Nelson prayed for that congresswoman who's saying all kinds of nasty, ugly things, in my opinion. She said, "God save her." And I'm thinking, I'm convicted to me. Just like that, I'm, oh, someone get the knife out of my heart. I'm thinking, I've just been praying for her to die. God, get her out of there. Get her out of there. And Deb said, "God, I pray that you save that woman. For to me, to live is Christ." You see, I want to think like Christ. And I want to speak like him. But more than anything, I want to have his heart. I want to have his heart. Stand with me if you would. Selfishness is a big thing in the church. Some of us would write it this way: "For to me, to live is making money, to die is loss. For to me, life is about my children, to die is grief. To me, to live is to make my wife happy, to die is to make her rich." She would like that. "To me, to live is my job, my career, my recognition. To die is defeat." But all of us need to say, "For to me, to live is Christ. To die is gain." Aunt Shirley went home to be with the Lord yesterday. And Treva had a few moments. She remembered her favorite aunt, always in her life. And I just kept thinking about a little lady who didn't know her son any longer. That in one day got sick and the next day went home to be with Glory. And I couldn't see the downside in that. As she stepped over into Glory, don't you know she was greeted by so many people that she has spoken into their life. She He was a preacher. Banker. Great lady. The church ought not be selfish. You ought not be selfish. What are you doing for the kingdom of God? I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how do you want me to end this? He said, it's very simple. I want people to make a commitment that would say, for to me, to live is Christ. And if you cannot say that emphatically about your life today, but you're moved by the Spirit of God, I'd like for you to step out of your seat. Come and stand here. We don't have a magic potion. We don't have anything we're going to wave over you. But this is a declaration of you in your life that says, God, you're still on my graph, but you're not number one. And I want you to be. I want you to be number one. I want to always say, for to me, to live is Jesus Christ. If you can't make that statement, but you want to, would you step out of your seat, come here, and let's pray together. Amen. Let's sing this song. Hallelujah.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all. To Him I freely give. And I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
Been a call to Christians to get your heart right. But it's possible that there's someone here today that says, I'm not even a Christian, but I'm moved by the Spirit of God today. I would like to ask Jesus into my heart with an uplifted hand. We'd just like to pray for you. Are you here today? It says, I need to know Jesus. Anyone here at all? I need to know Jesus. Pastor, pray for me. Amen. 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 Father God, we just lift up those that need to know you. We pray, God, that they would invite you into their heart, that you would ask, they would ask, Lord, for you to forgive them of their sins. They want to follow you. But Lord, we pray for every person that's standing here in front of me. And Lord, I'm here with them. For to us to live is Christ. Lord, it's so easy to get out of balance. It's so easy to make life about money, about things, about relationships. But you are my life. You are my life. God, I pray that every one of us are bowing of the selfishness, of the mispriorities that's been in our heart. God, forgive us that we've been out of balance. We're asking you, Lord, to realign our ground today. Realign our priorities. God, we are convicted by Paul's statement.
He had many things that he could whine about,
many things he could be hurt and complain about. chose. God, he made a choice
to rejoice in his suffering.
God, I know at this moment, nothing changes about my circumstances. Lord, my bills are still due. Someone may still be sick. Nothing is changing about my circumstances, but everything is changing about my attitude. God, I submit all those things to you. And I declare with my lips, for to me to live is Christ, and I will rejoice in you. I submit to your authority. And I say, to God be the glory. Whatever I go through, and when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and staff. They comfort me and guide me. I choose to trust in you. I choose to live for you. I declare it today, and I will tell somebody today of my choice. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.